The Lord today, Mark chapter 14, let me check my paper here and make sure I'm not forgetting something to announce. Of course, the auction following altar service, and we're going to get all we can get from the Lord, and then we're going to enjoy the opportunity of contributing to Mother's Memorial and receiving something in return. Mark chapter 14. Verse 27, the Lord is speaking to his disciples at the time of the Last Supper and all of the events that are leading up to his arrest and his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus saith unto them, verse 27, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But, I'm thankful he added this, after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Praise God. And offended, that is in verse 27, in the margin of my Bible is, scattered. So twice the scattering is mentioned there. And that just caught my attention. And that's what I want to share with you today. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. The English language has a lot of amazing twists and turns. And I really appreciate those who have English as a second language being able to function as well as they do, you know, holding on to their original language and then learning English as well with all of its metaphors and idioms and so on that even those of us who were born with it have some struggle in keeping up. But scattered is one of those words that has many different meanings. When I read it, I was thinking of how we can have many concerns. We could have many areas that our thoughts are going to wander to or even scatter. We can be spread too thin, meaning that we've got too many things going on. And we can't do a good job at any particular one of them because so many things are demanding our attention and our efforts and our expertise of whatever we have. We use the phrase, too many irons in the fire. I thought at first that was branding irons. Anybody ever do branding? You ever brand cattle? When I, my first year of Bible school, one of my pastors was in Idaho, my former pastors was in Idaho, and invited us over for Thanksgiving break, so we dashed over there. And they held off on branding their cattle until we got there. So, that was an interesting experience. I got knocked down by a horse, and thankfully, I didn't get stepped on too bad, but you know, the horse knew its business, and I was in the wrong place, the wrong time. I was running with the inoculations and the branding iron and the and so on. It's an interesting thing, and the fire is nice and hot. The branding iron is glowing red hot, and press it on the hip of that little calf, and the sizzle and the smoke and the and the complaint from the calf, you know, it's all very real. But too many irons in the fire doesn't refer to branding. Anybody know what it refers to? Blacksmithing. That's where it is said that the phrase comes from. Because you can imagine, I've never seen a blacksmith at work, but I've seen the pictures, read the stories, and so I know Louis L'Amour always has blacksmith work going on in there. And I had to chuckle about the preacher who confessed about reading way too many Louis L'Amour paperbacks. He said when he'd go into a restaurant, he'd choose a table that put his back to the wall so he could keep an eye on everybody. He was right-handed, so he picked up his coffee cup with his left hand. I think that's getting into the story a little bit, isn't it? But the blacksmith has got to make sure that he doesn't have too many irons in the fire, because the steel has got to get hot enough to, you know, bang away on with the in the anvil and whatever he's making, horseshoes generally, and then spikes or nails or hinges or whatever he's working on. Pretty amazing how they're able to do all of that. But too many irons in the fire means it's not going to be tempered right. It's not going to be the right temperature. He's going to fall behind. He's going to be a little overwhelmed. He's going to have to reheat and so on. So you just have to be aware of what you're working with. Another phrase, maybe not so complimentary, scatterbrained. Anybody ever feel scatterbrained? That's definitely too many irons in the fire that we might experience. Not necessarily a compliment, but a comment that I think a lot of us have experienced, not being able to concentrate on any one particular task because there are so many that are calling for our attention. Problems piling up and not able to deal with them all at once. And that's when we need the help of the Lord. That's when we need to come to him and find rest and thank God for it. Now, he told us, be careful. Don't be overcharged with cares of this life. Don't let yourself become unaware the day that's coming. We can get so wrapped up in all of the demands of life and all of the situations that are going on, you know, the illness that we have to deal with, the friends that are suffering, the finances that are coming up, April 15th, not that far away. All of those problems, all of those difficulties, don't be overcharged. Don't let yourself get bogged down. Take heed to yourself, the Lord said. Don't be unaware of his return. Now, the Lord quoted a prophecy from Zechariah 13 and 7, and I like the way the Bible refers again and again to it is written. In other words, the Bible is saying this is being fulfilled right before your eyes, and you need to pay attention. And if we're ever living in a time where Bible prophecy is being fulfilled again and again right before our eyes, it's now. The eclipse taking place tomorrow, there are some who are attaching a spiritual significance to it. And maybe so. Signs in the sky and all of that sort of thing. The scoffer and the mocker can say that those things have happened. That's just a natural sequence in our solar system. That's just what takes place. Well, that's true. But I think God is doing a lot of things and working a lot of situations that we've got to pay attention to. Amen. And to know and understand what the Lord is trying to say to us in these aspects. Smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. The flight or fight response that psychologists say we're going to experience in the time of extreme danger or threat. And then they've added a third response, freeze. You're either going to fight or engage in flight away from the threat, or you're going to freeze and not be able to do a thing and just stay there and stare at it. Well, the scattering of these disciples is what was going to take place. Many prophecies fulfilled in Jesus. We know Matthew in particular, as he writes his 28 chapters, he uses that phrase, it is written, probably more than any of the other gospel writers. And powerful and miraculous things that took place in the fulfillment of the prophecies of Jesus Christ as Messiah. And there's still more to come. Praise God. Because the Lord's not done yet. The church is continuing on. And the thousand-year reign upon the earth that's going to take place is going to again be fulfillment of the Word of God. Not all the prophecies were ones that would be positive or miraculous or uplifting. There were many that were painful, like Isaiah 53. And we know Isaiah 53 is referring to the Messiah because in Acts chapter 8, Philip heard the Ethiopian read from that passage and begin at the same verse and preach Jesus. Oh, I'm thankful we can preach Jesus. Amen. Even though it may not be majestic, it may not be victorious, it may not be powerful, but yet the Lord fulfilled the prophecy, even when it meant a great cost and a great difficulty to himself. I'm thankful that the Lord was able to fulfill all of the Word of God and is still doing so. The disciples heard it. They thought, we're not going to scatter. Peter even pledged to die with the Lord. And all the disciples likewise echoed that phrase, except Judas. He'd already departed. And ironically, Judas was the first of the original disciples to die. And unfortunately, he fell victim to the deceit of the devil. I think there could have been forgiveness, but he didn't seek it. Instead, his remorse brought him to the place of suicide. They were scattered, but they weren't shattered. Peter was swinging a sword at the arrest of Jesus Christ, and it made for a disastrous situation, but it made also for the miraculous to be fulfilled in the Lord. The disciples dashed away into the night, and the Bible says Peter followed afar off. We might consider that to be at least he made the effort. But we also need to consider that's a dangerous place. Not to be afar off, but to be as close as you can to the Lord. We know the denials of the Lord took place, three of them, and then the rooster began to crow, and Peter remembered and wept. A difficult time for him. But the disciples gathered. The women went to the tomb. They heard the word from the angels. Peter and John got word and they ran to the tomb. And so the excitement, the questions, the wondering, what happened to his body? What's going on here? Somehow they didn't remember that the Lord had spoken to them about his resurrection. And even in this case, when I'm risen, I'll go before you into Galilee. That connection was not there. But the Lord appeared to them and declared, peace be unto you. Their misery was multiplied by the memories that they had of the failure of them standing with the Lord. And as they mingled together, their tears dripped down off their faces, and the terror that they experienced as perhaps they thought soldiers would be coming to arrest them, and likewise they would share the fate of crucifixion. But Jesus appeared and turned their fears to faith. Praise God. I'm thankful he can do that for us. I'm thankful we can hear him say, peace be unto you. In the middle of all the trauma, in the middle of all the problems, in the middle of all the setbacks and all the difficulties, peace be unto you. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful we know the powerful truth of his word. I am risen. Glory to God. I'm thankful for the aspects of his arrest and his condemnation, his death on the cross. But I'm thankful we can quickly move past that and see the victory, see the power, see the Lord bringing forth his goodness. Peter, remember, said, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He was trying to deny the aspect of death and so on. But I'm thankful the Lord went through that difficult time. I'm thankful he went through that torture and the whole aspect of his death, because there was going to be a resurrection. He even gave him a time frame. He said the third day. Praise God. And like us, They weren't anxiously counting the days. Like us, they didn't look ahead to the fulfillment of the prophecy. Like us, they didn't anticipate that there was going to be victory and the grave was going to be empty. But Friday was the first day, the Sabbath was the second day, Sunday, the first day of the week, was the third day, and he came forth. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful for the power and the blessing of the Lord. Now back up for just a moment and consider the feeding of the 5,000 and the Lord teaching those multitudes as they sat in groups and so on, and all the organization, all the passing out of the food and so on, and then they began to depart. They scattered. Here and there, they began to walk away. The Lord turned to his disciples and asked them, "Will you also go away?" It was not a nervous type question. It was not a feeling of being abandoned and so on. He was simply questioning their desire to stay with him. And fortunately, Peter answered, God bless Peter, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You see, he was valuing the things that he knew to be so powerful and so wonderful. It wasn't so much that he had something to eat. He had a full stomach. He had 12 baskets of food. It was him recognizing eternal life, Lord, is what you offer. Eternal life, Lord, is what we find and when we walk with you. Eternal life, Lord, is what we enjoy and we can hold on to. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful we can be sure about what the Lord is and what he has done. Not forsake the one who has been faithful to us, but staying close to the one who promised, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful we can hold on to the blessings and the promises of the Lord. "I go before you," he said. He led the way. 40 days. Infallible proofs that Luke would write about. More teaching, more truth, more of his presence, more of the promises. He pointed them to the promise. The Spirit is going to be poured out. "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." I wonder how many questions came to their minds about that. And then when he led them to the Mount of Olives and departed from them. But he had promised them, John baptized, yeah, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Praise God. When he was received out of their sight, the angels affirmed the promise. He's coming again. He's coming back. Praise God. And they could hold on to those promises. He told them, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And they departed to that upper room in Jerusalem. They spent time in prayer and praise. They worshiped the Lord. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Hallelujah. I'm thankful we know it comes from heaven. I'm thankful we know it's not some psychotic stirring up of people's imaginations and so on. I'm thankful we know it's powerful from the Word of God. It filled all the house where they were sitting. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord fulfills his promises. I'm thankful he goes before us. I'm thankful we can rejoice that he is risen. Amen. Now, these disciples didn't scatter. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the Bible says. They continued daily in the temple and from house to house. Praise God. They enjoyed getting together. There wasn't a scattering. They stayed together. They had signs and wonders. They saw miraculous moves of the Spirit of God and the hand of the Lord being displayed as he healed in marvelous ways. They proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Praise God. And they continued on together, and the Lord added to the church daily. Hallelujah. 3,000, 5,000, multitudes, a great company of the priests. Amen. It just continued on because the Lord was fulfilling his word. And now I'm so thankful we can gather together in the house of the Lord and know that the Bible tells us don't neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We recognize where we are and we know the hand of the Lord is moving in spectacular in particular ways, and we're going to stay together. Praise God. We're not going to be scattered. Praise the Lord. We're going to continue on and know attending church faithfully and being blessed in his presence and in the presence of the faithful saints of God. We're going to continue on because forever together is God's plan, and we might as well make it work now. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that it's our treat to be at retreats. I'm thankful we can look ahead to a camp meeting. It has no equal. I'm thankful we know the power and the blessing of the Lord and the strength that God has there. Now, the Bible does say they were scattered. The Bible does talk about Saul of Tarsus and the persecution that he brought to the church. And Acts 1 and or 8 and 1, rather. Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Now wait, didn't the Lord say there were going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth? What Saul of Tarsus didn't know and understand was he was fulfilling the word of God. Amen. He was sending them out. He was scattering them. Praise God. Verse 4 of Acts 8, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Praise God. Amen. They had the seed that Matthew 13 talks about. The seed that they would cast forth, the word of God, and how it would increase 30, 60, 100-fold, and God would bring about the victory and revival as they preached the word of the Lord. And even Saul of Tarsus himself converted in Acts chapter 9. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful for the power of the Lord. And look at the end of chapter 9, or towards the end, verse 31. This is after all of the trauma and all of the experience, all the amazing things that took place when Saul of Tarsus was being converted. His fasting, his blindness, Ananias coming and praying for him, affirming to him that it was Jesus that appeared to him in the way. Verse 31 says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. It had spread. They had scattered the word. Praise God. They had taken this truth. They were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Amen. There's that increase, 30, 60, 100. Thank the Lord for more people and more churches. Because Gamaliel had said it. If it's of God, you can't overthrow it. If it's of man, it's going to come to nothing anyway. Thank God we know it's of the Lord because it keeps going. Hallelujah. It keeps going. The hand of God is still being displayed. The power of the Lord is still coming forth. The work of God is going on around the world. Hallelujah. And there's a gathering, not a scattering. Amen. I thought about that old song. What a gathering. What a gathering. What a gathering at the sounding of the glorious jubilee. What a gathering, what a gathering. What a gathering of the faithful that will be. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Hallelujah. Because the word of God says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, or that aspect of death, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Praise God. No maybes, no ifs, no if all of this works out and the stars align. No, nothing like that. The Word of God says, we shall. Hallelujah. And I'm glad the Bible tells us the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's not a scattering. It's a gathering. Hallelujah. The power of the Lord that is going to be displayed. The blessing of God that's going to take place. The marriage supper of the Lamb that's going to happen. You look at Revelation 19. And John recording, I heard voices. I heard a voice of a great multitude. I heard the voice of many waters. I heard the voice of mighty thunderings. I wonder how loud that was. Amen. It wasn't something that he could avoid, or he could say, I'm not going to pay attention. That's just noise. No, he recognized there's an announcement about to take place. There's something that's about to happen. And that announcement was made in verse 7 of chapter 19, the book of Revelation. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Hallelujah. How did she get ready? You go to Ephesians 5, and you look at the bride of the church. That is the description of the church. Praise God. I'm thankful. This is how the Lord sees his church. The world may mock. The world may scoff. The world may make fun. The world may persecute. The world may say you're being foolish. You're wasting your time. You're giving to a wrong cause. And all of the mockery and all of the persecution. But this is how the Lord sees you. He loved you and he gave himself for you. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that we can rejoice in that sacrifice. Ephesians 5 goes on to say, he's sanctifying the church. He's cleansing the church. The washing of the water by the word is taking place every service, every situation, every retreat, praise God, every gathering together. The word of God is having its effect and changing us so that we could be pleasing to him. It's a glorious church. It doesn't have spot. It doesn't have wrinkle. It's holy. It's without blemish, praise God. And that's the church that the Lord is preparing for himself. A church called by his name. A church filled with his spirit, praise God. And verse 8 of Revelation 19 says, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Amen. Now, there are a lot of terms in the Bible. Righteousness is one of them. Sanctification, justification. We can get into the theological aspects of it, but just keep it plain and simple. Righteousness is right living, right choices. By whose standard? By whose opinion? The Word of God. Because we're being washed with the water of the Word. Praise God. We're moving into the realm that God has for us. And I'm thankful. My wife's alarm went off at 5:15 this morning. And so I'm laying there thinking, why does she have to get up so early? What in the world's going on here? And then all of these scriptures started to roll through my mind. And let me just share them with you here. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'm thankful that he was made to be sin. The Creator made himself sin for us. He's totally righteous. He's all righteousness, but he stepped into the realm of sin. Oh, my God, what a price that he paid. What a sacrifice that he made. Can I treat that lightly? Can I just look at it one time a year, Good Friday and Easter, and then go on blindly, not recognizing, not understanding, not appreciating all that he did? No, he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. We knew no righteousness, but he made that trade-off. He made that exchange. He took the place that we should have had in the judgment and the crucifixion, but he allowed himself to be there in our place so that we could step in to the righteousness of God and be made righteous in him. Praise God. Verse 17 of that same chapter lets us know, if we are in Christ, we are new creatures. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. And I have the privilege of stepping into that realm. I have the privilege of letting go of those things that are old, that are going to pull me down, that are going to corrupt me and move me into the realm where all things become new, because that's what God wants to do. He wants to show us his power. He wants to show us his goodness. He wants to show us his strength and his blessing. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 and 24, the Bible says, put on that new man. That's the newness that God wants to bring us into. Put it on. Don't neglect. Don't hold off. Don't be scattered. But put on that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the creation. That's what God wants to bring forth. That's the power he wants to reveal. That's the blessing he wants to impart. I can't do it myself, but he says, let me do it for you. Praise God. And he moves us in to the realm of even greater blessing and greater power. Philippians 3 and 9. Paul said, I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So I keep walking in it. I keep moving it. I may not understand it. I may not have an explanation. But faith is greater than an explanation. Because an explanation just leaves you at point one, where faith is going to keep moving you on. Faith is going to keep advancing you. Faith is going to keep helping you to walk. Praise God. By faith, we understand that all things were made by the hand of the Lord. Titus 3 and 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, wouldn't amount to anything anyway. Wouldn't accomplish a whole lot at all. Our works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful the components of the new birth are mentioned there in that passage where there's water and there's spirit. Praise God. The very elements that are there in Genesis chapter 1. Also in John chapter 3, and now here in Titus 3, it's emphasizing it again and again. We can be born again. Hallelujah. Thank God for the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's God's power and blessing in our lives and in our hearts. And Jesus declared, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be? Oh, yeah. That's God's plan. That's God's blessing. And he goes on in that same area, that same time of the Sermon on the Mount, as we call it. That's Matthew 5 and 6. Sorry, I didn't give the reference. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord was telling them, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about situation. Don't worry about accumulating, for a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. There's something greater. There's something more. There's something eternal. Praise God. And it's his righteousness. And that's how the church is going to appear. His righteousness. Glory to God. Amen. Easy to get scattered. Easy to listen to man's voices. Easy to listen to even churches that are saying it doesn't matter. The Word of God is old-fashioned. It's irrelevant. It doesn't fit in the 21st century. But oh, thank God, the Lord never changes, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's still leading us in the way that he wants us to go. Amen. No, I'm not going to be scattered. So how is the righteousness possible? He's the risen Lord. It's the power of the resurrection. It's the change that he can bring to our lives. It's the power that he can reveal. Praise God. Oh, the psalmist wrote about it. He leads me the green pastures. He leads me still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I've got to keep following him. I've got to keep going with, not scattered. No. I'm going to keep following him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I guarantee you, when you arrive at that marriage supper of the Lamb and you see the host of heaven gathered together, praise God, and oh, the sound of many voices, the sound of mighty waters, the sound of mighty thunderings, praise God. I hope we hear it too. It's probably going to be the praise of the redeemed. It's probably going to be you and me singing at the top of our voice, not worrying about a sore throat, not worrying about losing our voice, but just singing praise and worship to our God and exalting him and lifting him up. You will be so glad you weren't scattered by man's opinions. You will be so thankful you didn't take heed to doctrines and opinions and ideas of man, but you stayed with the word of God, the washing of the water by the word. Hallelujah. You prayed, God, continue washing me. God, continue cleansing me. God, continue sanctifying me. Help me not to get stuck in the things of this world, but to move into the realm of your blessing and power. Praise God. You'll be so thankful you weren't scattered when Satan turned up the heat. So thankful you didn't give up when there were trials and troubles, but you kept on going. Hallelujah. You kept on walking in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You continued being determined. You're not going to be defiled by the world, the flesh, the devil. Whatever comes, whatever goes, I'm going to continue on with the Lord. Amen. And the power of God being displayed in that manner. Oh my, what a day that's going to be. Please stand with me now. What's it going to be like to walk on streets of gold? What's it going to be like to see that crystal sea? What's it going to be like? The gates of pearl. You know, those things are going to be awesome to see. But I've got some other interests. Amen. I've got loved ones over there. I've got preachers that I want to talk to. Hallelujah. I got saints of God I want to be reunited with. And I want to see him on that throne. There's one. I want to see him on that throne. Praise God. Oh my. How incredible. Here's what I ask. Determine in your heart. Ask the Lord today to give you that determination. I am not going to be scattered. I'm going to draw together with those of like precious faith. And I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to turn aside. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to be delayed. I'm going to keep going. Praise God. Into his power and into his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful that we can put our trust in him. I'm thankful we can recognize he fulfilled his word. I'm thankful we know he paid the price. Paul wrote to the Corinthians declaring to them twice, you are bought with a price. He didn't name the price. He knew that they knew because of reconciliation, because of power and blessing, because strength and reality. Praise God. I hope there's nothing lighthearted about this. I hope there's nothing that just, oh, well, you know, this pastor yelling, spitting, screaming. No. It's got to get in your heart deep. And it's got to direct and guide your life continually. And thank God that we can know his power and his blessing. Amen. Let's sing it together. Amen.